Sounds to me like you're daunted. Say it again like you're undaunted.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Whenever you're listening or watching this, this is the Often Daunted Podcast, and I am your host, Burke White. Yes, for all of you audio listeners, I did say watching this. I have released the show on YouTube. I did the thing that podcasters do, go from audio only to YouTube. You know, when I started this hobby 2 years ago from my basement, my very own basement, for all of you new to the show, this is my basement, not my mom's basement. Would my mom have this? This is a signed Sports Illustrated copy signed by Victor Oladipo. Would she have it? No, that's my basement. Would she have this? Would she have the would she have a signed picture of the Watt shot? Would she have a signed picture of the Watt shot with my student ticket signed by Dickie V? No, I don't think she would. This is my basement where I record the Often Daunted Podcast. Welcome to all of you new. I started this show 2 years ago as just a place that I could talk Indiana hoops because I became a father and I had a lot more time on my hands when things started settling down for me, the family life and all that. I wanted to utilize it and follow a hobby. I wanted to get into just sound design, making a show, getting that all together. And the Often Daunted Podcast, the last 104 episodes have been just such a joy for me to make, and we're just so much fun. It's been so fun, the journey, getting to meet as many people as I have, getting to talk on their shows, getting to just talk with them. And I saw what other shows were doing on YouTube and how they were able to get fans involved and get the community involved around them, and I wanted to do the same with the Often Daunted Podcast. You know, I started the show not because I wanted to be the voice of Indiana basketball. I'm not that at all. If you want your analytics, you can go to Assembly Call, awesome podcast. If you want great interviews from old players or old players, you can go to Hoosier Hysterics, awesome interviews. Crimson Cast, Mind Your Banners, Podcast on the Brink, all of those. Great podcasts out there all for what you want. Whenever you're done listening to those, if you want that 11th hour of Indiana content, come to me. That's what the Often Daunted Podcast is for. We're just hanging out and discussing Indiana hoops in the most ignorantly optimistic manner possible. Yes, you may say, okay, so why the name Often Daunted? Well, that just came when I was just looking for a clever name, and I thought, wow, fight song, never daunted. My lifestyle as a 29-year-old, just, you know, figuring out the whole family lifestyle, I would say I'm rather often daunted. So the name itself came more about as just an outlook on my whole luck and or circumstance at any given time. But nonetheless, it's going to stick. You know, just because Indiana goes with the hashtag never daunted doesn't mean I'm going to change for that. You know, I'm keeping it the way it is. Also, some of you may be wondering, you know, why, how does this guy get to talk about Indiana basketball? What does he know? Where does he come off? And I wanted to present my resume just so you all knew what I'm messing with, like how my ball level. One, I quit playing competitively in the eighth grade, mostly due to being short, fat, and slow with a credit card jump and an absolute brickworks for a shot, for a shooting stroke. Two, I once recorded 5 points and 6 boards in a hyper B-level rec game. And three, I just really love talking about Indiana basketball, and this is my hobby. I'm going to talk about what I want on my show, this hobby I've done, and yeah, it's going to be Indiana basketball. If you'd like to talk about it with me, please reach out anywhere. Follow me across all socials at Often Daunted, or if you wanted to reach out to the show directly, oftendaunted@gmail.com. All right. Now, I said this is episode 105 of the audio, episode 0 of the video, because it is going to be a different video. The usual format would go Indiana news, conference news, Burke's Big Five, pseudo Mount Rushmore, a segment, and then we'll get you out of here with a Hoosier history hit. That will be the way of the show moving forward in the offseason. And now when previews and recaps get going, and I'll work those in, and I'll fill you guys in on how that's going to go. But I just really wanted to introduce myself to YouTube before I made the official first episode because honestly, there wasn't a lot of Indiana news to compile that very first episode. And for those of you new to the show, on the Often Daunted podcast, no news is good news in the offseason because usually if there's any news in the offseason, someone's been in trouble. So credit to the Indiana Hoosier program for staying out of the headlines. I appreciate it. I appreciate them giving me no content. I truly do. As as weird as that sounds. So, yeah, that's just me. Welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy the video. On this episode of the Often Daunted podcast, I got a chance to sit down with Jaron Will and Adam Miller of the State of Basketball podcast. Awesome podcast. 11 teams, one podcast. Yeah, they cover each level of Indiana basketball from top to bottom. So it was interesting to get their take on like how these transfers are faring like at the jump in competition or the step down. These guys have a little more insight of it because they have to watch more of it than me because they're covering like Marion. Like they're covering 11 Indiana colleges. I'm going to give them their credit and take their word for a lot of this stuff. It was awesome sitting with them. Then we got into a draft. You know, we were just going to draft our in-state talent, but you could only select one player from each program. You know, just your bullshit summer segment. Good time. I'm so happy they were on. I look forward to having them on in the future. Yeah, just working with them in more episodes to come. And with all that down, let's get right into that interview. I mean, I don't have anything else for you. Welcome to the Often Daunted podcast. Thank you. As I had said earlier in the show, I have the pleasure of welcoming Adam Miller and Jaron Wilt from the State of Basketball podcast onto the show. This is their premiere interview on the Often Daunted podcast. I cannot thank them enough for coming on to the very first video episode, the very first video version. Awesome show, awesome premise, 11 teams, one show, such an awesome idea. It just covers every single level of college basketball that there is on the Indiana spectrum. I mean, for the uninitiated into the State of Basketball podcast, you know, the State of Basketball, it's obviously about basketball in Indiana. We don't have to go any further there, but can you elaborate on just how the show came about and what sparked you guys wanting to cover, I mean, every level of Indiana collegiate basketball? That's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. So unfortunately, Adam, his computer decided to reboot right as we get started. He'll be back here shortly. But really what it boiled down to, right? Why we wanted to start this show is we were born and raised Indiana Hoosier fans, right? He and I love basketball, high school, college. Like you said, Indiana is the state of basketball, right?
In
49 other states, it's just basketball, but in Indiana, it's special. And really, you know, he and I for years, like we've known each other since we were kids. We will text back and forth anytime we're watching a game, whether it's an IU game or, you know, any March Madness, any basketball game. And we talk about it all the time and we're like, well, what if we start a podcast? Like we already do this. We already talk to each other. So why not talk to each other in front of, you know, other people that might enjoy what we talk about? And we're like, okay, if we talk about IU, like there's already so many different great podcasts, right, that talk about IU.
I mean, like, obviously. How exactly. Can you contend with this competition out here?
Exactly. So we didn't want to like, you know, dilute it, right? Like we didn't want to try and take, you know, viewers and listeners from other podcasts that support the same school we did. So it's like, well, why don't we just, you know, Indiana is the state of basketball. Why don't we talk about all of the Division I schools in Indiana? Because some of them, they're great programs. They just, you know, don't get much love. So okay. Let's. Whew.
And then, welcome and back.
Just like that, Adam is back,
dude. Okay, you want to know what happened?
Go ahead.
So I'm on a laptop that's HDMI'd into my wife's work desktop, you know, her monitor, because my my computer doesn't work right now. Yeah. Jaren, fix that for me. And I thought the charger is plugged in. Nope, not plugged in.
Okay. It happens. It happens. But I mean, Jaren was on a roll. He was just filling me in on to just the, you know, the background of the show and how it came about. You guys not wanting to really pick, you know, step on my block, take away from my crowd, going out there and stealing like PFW, all of those guys. That's very cool.
Yeah. We really just wanted to, you know, bring attention to all of the programs in Indiana, both the good ones that do get a lot of great attention, but also, you know, the smaller schools. And that's what we decided to do.
And it was, dude, it is awesome because you talk about that attention. What those smaller school coaches do with the attention, I mean, it's awesome. They really open themselves up to you guys in a way that no big time program coach is like. I mean, they're showing you guys the playbook in some of those interviews that you guys are having on your show.
Yeah. It's been great.
We were kind of fortunate.
It is cool to see that level.
Yeah, we were kind of fortunate this year that, you know, like, obviously, you know, there's so many people that talk about Indiana. There's so many people that talk about Purdue. And obviously, you know, incredible year for Purdue. So everyone nationally was talking about them. But like early on in the season, we were one of the first ones who were talking about like, hey, the Dons might be good. And then we started latching on to, hey, like the Sycamores are onto something here. Like they might be something special. And then obviously everyone realized like, okay, Indiana State's the real deal. So like Indiana State being good really helped our show and, you know, helped us kind of break into the Sycamore world because they were like, more people need to be talking about us like every week. And we were just kind of those people for a while.
Yeah. I mean, as being like one of the few guys covering them, that had to be exciting. There had to be a windfall of listeners, at least when they got rolling.
Oh, yeah. We're for a while there. We were the biggest. I mean, Indiana State fans loved us and they still do. Right. But it was like anytime we posted or talked about Indiana State, it was like, okay, this post could go viral to some extent. Like this is people are latching onto it. And that was it really helped us, you know, we haven't even been doing this for a year yet. And it's helped us grow quite a bit. So we're very fortunate and grateful to those fans.
Dude, they have to be fortunate and grateful for you guys, like covering an untapped market, like serving them. Yeah, that's awesome. Goes both ways. Hey, I just wanted to say, like, your guys' basketball fandom, you guys both came onto the show, like, telling me the right things, telling me what I wanted to hear. You're both Indiana fans. I mean, how hard has it been covering, like, the state of Indiana basketball with Purdue being the ones on top?
It's fun, right? But it's hard. It's hard because you're like, okay, Purdue won again. What are we going to – how can we talk about – and I mean, Zach Edey and Braden Smith being big pieces to their – figuratively and literally big pieces to their team. It's like, okay, Zach Edey broke another record. Okay, like, do we – for me, it was like, okay, do we really need to talk about Zach Edey again? Do we really need to bring up, okay, yep, they won. Let's just move on to the next school. But it's been fun. It's just, at the end of the day, and I think Adam can speak to this too, is I love watching winning basketball. And it's hard to deny Matt Painter coaches winning basketball. So.
Hey, if there's one show to deny it on, though, this would be it, guys. This is your time. This is your opportunity.
Yeah, you're right. But don't get it twisted. I am, you know. My grandfather went to Indiana, grew up, you know, watching games with him, going to Bloomington to watch football and basketball games. So there's always going to be that big piece of my heart with the Hoosiers.
How about you, Adam?
Jaren, you know, Jaren's definitely, I mean, it definitely is a little bit harder for him to talk about, you know, Purdue specifically. My dad went to IU. Like, I didn't go to IU. I think if you, you know, listen to the show, you know, I went to Trine. So national championship there. So that's nice. But, you know, my wife went to IU, graduated from IU. So, you know, we're an IU house, but, I've got two sisters that went to Purdue. My grandpa went to Purdue. So we've kind of just been like, you know, open to both. Went to football games with my grandpa all the time at Purdue. And why I say I went to football games with him, I mean, he would go, hey, my tickets are over here. You and your friend, you're over there, and you got to go find your seat. And I'm like, Grandpa, I'm nine. I don't know how to find these seats.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just like, you know, obviously, as someone who is first like an IU fan, I want IU to be doing well, and I want them to be at top of the state. But I'm kind of like, you know, at the end of the day, I want an Indiana team to win. And Purdue was doing that. Indiana State was doing that. And, you know, Butler was doing that for a little bit this year. And it was like just awesome to see winning. And I think that, you know, I think it's almost better for the rivalry that Purdue didn't win the national championship, because then like it's still unbalanced in some way. Mm-hmm. Because Purdue can still
have
say,
the weapon. We still yeah, have the weapon.
Yeah, IU can still say banners, and Purdue can still say we've been better recently. Like we went to a national championship, you know, last time you went was 22 years ago. Like we went this year. So like if Purdue wins, like then Purdue has all the ammo. And then Indiana is just like, you know, then the banners get a little bit more dusty. You know what I'm saying?
There still is the camp who is gonna go banner.
Yeah.
but I mean, they're always going to exist. But like you said, like it's just been a huge offseason for, like we just discussed Indiana State a bit. It's been a huge offseason for the entire state of Indiana. Indiana State, I mean, by far probably feels it the hardest. I would say Zach Edey leaving is a huge thing to feel. I would say Indiana with what they're bringing in, I mean, it's a positive thing, but mm-hmm. Indiana State just, how is it possible in this day and age for Indiana State to have sustained success like that?
I think without being just
picked apart.
I mean, I think yes, because you look at like, I mean, I know this is kind of a bad example, but like DeVries at Drake was good for so long there. And I know he did just get picked and you know, got took the West Virginia job, but like he was good for so long there. And it's almost like, Shirts was too good too soon. Like he was just always good in D2, had that first year where he was, you know, didn't have the players, and then he was just great after that. But I think that they can be, and I think that like Matt Graves could be the guy to do it, because he is someone who wants to retire there. He does not want to go anywhere else. He wants to stay there until he's done coaching. So if he can get the buy-in from the players, like like Duke could offer him $1 trillion and he doesn't want to go because he loves Indiana. He left Indiana once, came back, and is like, this is where I want to be. I want to retire here. So I'll win the Missouri Valley 20 times in a row and be completely happy
worse lives to live for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, how about you, Jaren? Any thoughts on it? Just.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think they can. I think that, nowadays it's going to be a little harder because right, you don't have guys who are in their sixth COVID season. Mm-hmm. NIL, we all know, is a big deal. So if you know you've got a star at that school that might get looked at by Texas, for example, like several of their players did, you know, that might draw some away. But I think a guy like Graves, he loves the state, like Adam said. I think that he's going to do whatever he can, and he'll find ways to keep recruiting guys that are going to stay in the state, keep recruiting guys who are going to build a program. I mean, I want to use Purdue Fort Wayne as an example. You know, they've never been to an NCAA tournament game, but they've still been really successful in their little, you know, in their conference year over year. They're perennially one of the best in their conference, whether it's the Summit or the, you know, the Horizon League now. Mm-hmm. And I think Indiana State has the potential to do that. And, you know, all you got to do is win the conference tournament and you're in the NCAA tournament. And if you can find success in your conference, I think that that's something that Graves is going to be able to achieve for sure. And
to piggyback on that, Jaren, like, so obviously St. Louis had a better NIL situation than Indiana State did. But like boosters and people ponied up to keep Graves, and they mm-hmm. boosted, you know, they bolstered that NIL And so I think that helps because like they experienced how great last year was and they know like if we don't pay to get players to stay, like it's not going to happen again. Like that'll just be a, you know, flash in the pan. And yeah. So I think that like, even though he left, he didn't leave it in as bad as of a situation as you think just by him leaving and taking all those players. It's like, okay, NIL is going to be better. Matt Graves is awesome. You know, it can have that continued success.
Yeah.
All right. Nice to know. So like, do you think the fan base, it feels that way? Are they sour on it? Or are they like, hey, thanks for the memories?
I think they get it. You know, I mean, obviously like
that is very mature of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think they get it because like he was in discuss, like his name was being tossed around with like Louisville, you know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not to like say that no one wants to end up at Indiana State because Matt Graves does. And like, I respect him for that. And like, that's what I love about him. But like someone like Josh Schertz, who came from the D2 level, didn't have ties to Indiana State like that. Like when someone offers you a bigger, better job, making a crap ton more money for you and your family, like you're going to take that job. Like that's a no brainer. And I think they understand it. And I think they just posted today that like they have over like 11,000 season tickets sold, which is the most ever. So like that support is continuing, which I love.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And there's a huge fan base there. Like the Sycamores have a phenomenal fan base. So they're, I think that they, now that they remember what it felt like back in what, 72, when, 79. Was it 79? Back when, you know, Larry Bird was there, right? Those fans, kind of the older fans at least, got to kind of relive that. But also younger fans are like, okay, wait, is this what it felt like, you know? Mm-hmm. 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Let's hold on to this. Let's not let this slip away.
Yeah. I mean, if schools like that do let it go, even like a 2 years time without really taking advantage of that, it can just get to an untenable level. They can't get back to where they just did after the year with Schertz. Like, So like Indiana State, we see how the transfer portal is doing a number on them. I mean, the head coaching change as well, but covering both Indiana major schools, all three with Notre Dame, but Indiana and Purdue in particular, with their different philosophies on how to attack the transfer portal, how they are handling recruiting and filling out a roster. I mean, what is your guys' thoughts on that? Is there a right way? I guess Painter's way has proven right, but that's also been with Zach Edey in the front court. But I mean, just your thoughts on all of it.
I don't think there is a right or wrong way. I think it boils down to what you do with the players you get, right? Like you could bring in, you know, five new starters, or, you know, cultivate five freshmen to be starters in 3 years or 4 years, whatever that may be. I think it comes down to just the culture, right? Like, you know, that if you're playing for Matt Painter, you know what you're going to expect. You know what to expect. If you're, you know, playing at Indiana, you know what everyone expects, right? Like the fans, the team, campus, right? So I think it comes down to, you know, you might get one or two bad eggs. You might get a guy that comes in that, you know, wants to be part of that, but just doesn't, things just don't work out. Whether it's, you know, Peyton Sparks, for example, right? Phenomenal. In the MAC, dominant in the MAC, didn't do a whole lot at Indiana. And that's, you know, largely because the role that he had to come in and play behind Khalil Ware last year, it was completely different. The expectation was different. But if you, you know, instill that culture into the players, I think you're going to be successful. However, whether you do it via the transfer portal or, you know, working through freshmen, is my opinion, at least.
I think if you look at it, so Matt Painter kind of has like what I guess you could call like a more old school approach. Like he is cultivating guys over a couple of years, and like, you know, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, great from day one. So like a little bit different, you know, Jaden Ivey, great from day one, right? You know, had a great sophomore season. So those are like a little bit different, but you look at the guys like Cam Heidi coming in, like expected to take a leap second year. People are excited about him. You know, that's the stuff. And then what is their freshman class? Like five guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was six.
Yeah. So they have five guys, yeah. Right? And like that's not the way things are going right now. I mean, Indiana's class is one, right? One freshman, Bryson Tucker.
Yep.
And so like Mike Woodson is taking the more like modern approach, which I think is funny based on people in the media saying that he doesn't understand modern basketball.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. I think
Let it out. This is the show to let all that out, man. let it all out.
I think the kind of the way that I think of it is like Matt Painter is taking the more proven approach, like not necessarily a safe approach, but like safer, where if you can get guys to stay with you and buy in, you know, stay for 3 or 4 years, they're going to be great. Like if you are a okay player and you play for Matt Painter for 4 years, you're going to be great by the time you leave. And Mike Woodson is taking kind of the approach where, you know, I'm going to take players who are either good or have shown potential, and I'm going to slot them in together and see how they fit, which is what everyone, you know, that's what UConn did. Like they had, you know, people like Klingon, and then they put them in, you know, with their new players, and, you know, both work. They were in the national championship game together. But I think there's a little bit more of a gamble with what Mike Woodson is doing, just because you don't know how they're going to fit, because you have someone who's played 4 years going to start at center for you. How's he going to fit with your point guard who's, you know, a sophomore? Yeah. So I think it's a little bit uncertain, but I don't think one is right over the other. I think one is more popular now, and that's the, you know, the Mike Woodson approach, I guess.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking in terms of that, like, how could somebody possibly do it the other way now? Like that the way that Painter does it is built on 20 years of goodwill. Like, and it's just impossible for anybody to come on the scene and build a program that way anymore. Even Mike Woodson coming on, starting his college career, like in the transfer portal, probably a good call because we needed an NBA guy, but there's no way that he can just build a program like where he's like reputation on development on 20 years of development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that you can, like, because looking at the guys that like Painter is offering, like Mike Woodson is offering like five stars, fringe four star guys, right? Painter is offering guys, you know, in the 100, you know, high up to the 100s to the 200s, because he's seen so much. Like Mike Woodson can do that, but like those guys might be better serviced by getting more playing time at a smaller school. They might, you know, come in and play for Woodson. But it's a gamble for them. It's a gamble for them too, because the transfer portal does exist. Like if Mike Woodson does both, you don't really know what you're going to get. And so, yeah, I think that Painter having that, you know, long tenure at Purdue of like, I build people. Raphael Davis is going on TV every night talking about how I build players. Like that definitely helps. Whereas like Mike Woodson is like, I'll get you to the NBA. So it's almost better for the rivalry that it's that way.
Yeah.
Like I wish they, like, I'm glad they're not just recruiting the same players. Like they're going after some of the same guys, but a lot of them are different. And I love it because it's just more fuel for the fire.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the same guys, the type of guys that they're going after. I mean, that's what made that whole Kanon Catchings fallout feel so weird, right? Like that was an Indiana recruit committed to Purdue the whole time, right?
That's there were rumors of that, right? Like he
wiped his Instagram.
Yeah.
And the only,
but he did the same thing that what's his face did, Dylan Harper did, right? And so was it for engagement?
Yeah, tongue in cheek.
Was it for engagement?
Coy as hell.
Yeah. Was it for engagement or like, I mean, this was a more extreme case of like, I think Jaden Ivey was a weird fit for Purdue. Like, I mean, he was incredible at Purdue, but he was a much better NBA player, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like, it was just a weird fit for Matt Painter. And like, I respect him for, you know, getting him and obviously helping him grow and having a great sophomore season. But like, it just felt weird. You know what I mean? And I think Catchings was kind of the same way. Like, he didn't feel like a Matt Painter guy. And then as everything came out, it was like, okay, he's just not.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think, Go ahead. No.
I was going to say, yeah, I think that's an absolutely great point. Is it just, you know, sometimes you get that guy that's a absolute baller, just mm-hmm. doesn't fit for one reason or another. I think Kachin just kind of fell under that umbrella.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Jaden Ivey didn't fit personality-wise. I'm sure he did. I'm just saying, like, his play style and, like, his, like, I can take over a game was just different than what Matt Painter had been rolling with.
All right. Enough about Purdue. We're going to talk about the Indiana backcourt. I mean, can you guys help me talk about last season and tell me that we addressed everything that you guys think we needed to address?
Well, what's the number one issue that you needed fixed from last year?
Well, I mean, shooting, production, just shooting, overall.
Okay, yeah. And then what's after shooting, because you needed shooting across the board. I mean, you need to take more threes, you needed to make more threes. What was the next thing you needed to fix?
Spreading the floor, ultimately. Just mm-hmm. the paint was way too packed.
Uh-huh.
And like, and nobody was able to make the like get the ball in the interior in a packed front court like that. But
okay, because yeah. who did you have running in the point most of the year? You had a
Xavier true Johnson freshman injured. Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah.
you had a true freshman, right? So you had a true freshman and then a senior playing out of position.
Yep.
So I mean, what did they get? The two most important pieces, I think. Who was first? Balo? Was he the first piece to fall?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, like, you know, replacing your almost lottery pick makes sense. But I think that the most important pieces for them, like, the two biggest needs were consistent guard play was one. It was number two. And then number one was shooting. And I think they got both of those. What do you think, Jaren?
Yeah. I think that's exactly what they did. You know, they've still got... You know, they had younger guards, right? Gabe Cups, Ja'Kai Newton, who no one has seen play other than high school. Great guards. I'm really high on Ja'Kai Newton. But, you know, you got two guys that played at a high level in their respective teams. You know, RIP the Pac-12. But it, you know, you've got guys that did that as freshmen at their, you know, respective schools. You're just putting them in a new program. That's mm-hmm. ball is ball the way I see it. And like they balled and they're going to be able to do that for Indiana.
So you see, I have something that I've been using on like the Big Ten shows talking about Miles's conversion rate from 3-point. Everyone says that, you know, he wasn't the hottest from behind the arc. And I thought, man, that dude went through like a year of chemo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the leg strength is that's 1A to go away.
That's like a super freshman wall. I mean, like,
yeah,
to go through chemo and play freshman Big Ten basketball, like, or Pac-12 basketball, impossible to do.
Your leg strength is like the most important part of having a repeatable shot, and like the fact that he's just going to have another year under his belt, I'm so pumped to see what he's bringing to campus.
And 3 years of eligibility.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it was crazy because did you guys see the Indiana men's basketball Instagram?
The first day, yeah,
he was like 24.
Yeah.
he's a 24-year-old sophomore.
16th grade. Yeah, like he's like almost the same age as Trey Galloway,
but he's a sophomore. Yeah, a 16th grade sophomore.
Chemo will do that to you, you know.
Yeah, God bless him.
Thank goodness that didn't rob him of any eligibility. But I think, you know, Rice, like his shooting, very important, obviously. Carlisle's shooting, very important. Carlisle's scoring ability, great. But I think the single most important thing that they got in the portal is just Miles Rice's ability to be an actual lead guard coming in who can know when to attack, know when to dish it, and know when to take the shot. And like, he can play off the ball with Galloway, Cups, Carlisle. He can play off the ball, but he's going to have the ball in his hands most of the time. And when was Indiana at its best? When they were a 4 seed, when Xavier Johnson was rolling, when they had that lead guard, because Mike Woodson needs a great lead guard to run his offense.
Okay. I love it. I love the sound of all of that. Jaren, just tell me you second it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's these are all things that Adam have and I have talked about, maybe not on the on our show as often, but in real life. Right. Like we talk about it all the time because it's I think it's absolutely true. I think that's just one thing that I mean, Indiana's brand of basketball in general has always relied on, you know, regardless of who the coach was, a true lead guard, Jordan Holes, Yogi Ferrell, like guys like that, right? That, you know, I could list off several others, but I mean, that's what Indiana has needed and wanted. I think we saw it a bit with, you know, Jalen Hood-Schifino.
Yep.
He didn't start the season as the lead guard because you had Xavier Johnson, right? And you can't just can't not have a guy like Fino in the starting lineup. So he played like, off a little bit. But
and I think the thing is he was almost still playing out of position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you did see that in some of the conversion, but I mean he absolutely performed to as much as we needed him to.
Yeah, was there like game where he did like Hood-Schifino did really well or something? Where was that game? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Somewhere.
I can't remember the night he became legend. I just can't remember.
Was it like 35, maybe something like that.
No. Hey. Okay. We covered the backcourt, the front court. You just said we went out and replaced the big man. Well, again, the national talking heads, not you guys included. You guys are some of the good ones. The other ones out there.
We're the interstate. We're
interstate talking heads. Yeah, you guys will definitely need to be my middlemen on all this kind of stuff. But Umar Ballo and Malik Renu, are they going to work together? Tell me they're going to work together.
Jaren?
I think so. I really do. You know, I know Malik has put in a lot of work, and we saw it a couple times last year. He put up some threes, and he made some threes. And I think that, you know, in high school, maybe that wasn't his go-to just because when you're 6'9" in high school, you're big in most instances, but you know, he's going to be able to stretch the floor even more. He's athletic. He's strong. He can play in and out. And then you've just got a guy like Ballo who's massive and he's going to catch every rebound, hopefully that is in his 8-foot wingspan. So I do think at times we'll see some buddy ball, like Indiana has been known to play. But I also think that, you know, Malik is going to have an even better year than he had last year. I think Coleman Hawkins is an example that I like to think about sometimes with Malik is the way that he was able to play inside, but also, you know, he even said it when they played when they played UConn, right? He just sat in the corner at times, waiting for the ball to come to him to shoot a three. Will we see that from Malik? Probably not, but that's, you know, something that I think Malik has now in his skill set.
I've actually got a little tidbit here. From my information, this is a fun fact, Jaren. Apparently Malik Renu was like not a center for like most of high school. Like he just had a growth spurt, like around his Montverde time. All right, you're 6'9".
That explains the footwork.
Yeah, so like, I think, you know, for those two to work really, really well together, Malik Renu has to, like you said, Jaren, play out on the perimeter. And I think Coleman Hawkins is a good comparison. I think Malik Renu is a better post player than Cole. I think Malik Renu is a better five than Coleman Hawkins is a better five. I think they're probably comparable fours. Coleman Hawkins is probably a better on the defensive end as a four. But I think that Malik has to be able to shoot the three. Like, I don't even remember. He had like four threes in one game last year, just like went nuclear. And it was like, this is going to happen. Like it's going to happen. And then this season just kind of fizzled out from there. But if he can step out, I think it completely changes it. And I think at like in his 4 years of college, Ballo's averaged like just north of 20 minutes per game.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be like a Trace Jackson Davis, Race Thompson type deal where they're out there 35, 40 minutes a game. I think you're going to see a lot of Malik Renu splitting the time with Ballo. And I think that that's going to be great because it's kind of like when not often, but when Edie came off the court, TKR slipped down to the five, and it was like a completely different look for the team. And then when Edie came back in, it was like, okay, no boards are happening. They're all his. So like, not that it's going to be the same, but that's like, it's going to change how IU plays.
And I, you will feel, I mean, no offense to him, but the weight of Balo, you will feel it on the court. I really feel that way.
Well, and one thing too, and I was going to say the same thing, that I do think that we'll see a lot of offensive sets where Balo's not even on the court and it's Malik playing the five. You know, what's one thing, Adam and I talk about this all the time, that Mike Woodson said about his offense when he came into the program? He wanted to play a four out, one in. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we'll see that a lot more because we finally have the wings that he's been going out and trying to get. We've got incredible guard depth. You've got, you know, so many guys that can shoot the ball. You know, some of the best fast-paced offense that Indiana played last year was with Malik at the five, and McKenzie playing the four, right? Yeah. I think we will see a lot of that, and I think that's a great sign. That's a positive sign for the Hoosiers if we see a lineup like that.
And I think, I just lost it. But I think if you like Malik playing down at the five more with Balo not taking a bunch of minutes does incredible things for the lineup. Like, I have my favorite hypothetical lineup, but I want to hear your guys. What lineup do you want to see maybe the most, or what is your favorite possible lineup they can throw out there?
This is getting dangerous, but I'm going to go with Miles at the point. I mean, if we're talking potential on what could be the funnest, Kanon at the two. I mean, just because of the potential behind what he could bring to that position. At the three, I almost want to say Trey, like, but I also believe Trey's best role, like, no offense to him as the senior captain, he six man, crazy man. Like, I want that Trey back so bad. That dude came on the floor and set a tone defensively, just set a tone for how the game was going to be.
This isn't like your favorite starting lineup, just like at any point in time in the game, could be 8 minutes left in the first half. Like, this lineup is out there just killing it. What lineup? Like,
I think the most exciting lineup, like, I mean, Miles is going to be the skill. He's going to be the general, but
he's got to be out there.
If we can have healthy Ja'Kai, there's so much pop in Ja'Kai that I'm just like, if he hits the ceiling of his potential, gets Ja'Kai at the point with Kanon at the two, the three, get Bryson in there.
Okay.
And then four, we're going to go Mbako, and five, we're going Malik, and we are running all day. We are just running up and down the floor. We are lobbing. We are dunking, and that's all of it. That's all we're doing.
I like that one. That's very athletic.
It's different.
That's probably the physically strongest lineup you can throw out.
Dude, Ja'Kai Newton, I just need to see him on the floor, man. He is such a bulldog in the cream and crimson. I'm so excited to see him get some minutes finally.
I mean, he's a guy that can jump out of the roof.
He
was so athletic. He can jump.
It wasn't the best injury for players who play explosively, but here's hoping that Indiana is going to be given all the resources and everything that he needs to rehab that as well as he can. So here's just hoping that it pays off.
Yeah. Jaren, what's your most fun five out there that you want to see? The most five, the five you're most excited to see play together.
Yeah, I'd say Malik, McKenzie, Trey, Carlisle, and Rice, I think, are the five.
Yeah,
I think that's in a very similar vein. If they're just gonna run up and down the court, do crazy athletic things, I think that you said it very briefly, Berg, but with Trey, I think he's best at, you know, playing the three, being a guy who could just go out there, pack the rim when the ball falls into his hands, but also, you know, shoot the ball. I mean, I think I talked about it a lot last year, that he just didn't, something just didn't seem off. His productivity across the board went down. But I think a lot of it's, you know, he's playing out of position. I personally do not think that he will be a starter. And I don't, I feel that he understands that and he doesn't want to be a starter. I think that he's got the ability to just say, hey, you know what? I know my role. I'm going to come off the bench
and he might get started minutes.
Right. Like I think he'll still get sizable minutes, but I think that, you know, when the ball's tipped, he won't be on the court, and that's, that's perfectly okay. And I think that that's what we are needs from him.
We are intelligent enough of a fan base to realize to make those guys legends still. Like those guys can be legends here.
Will Sheehy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite players of all time. And, He was that. Like, yes, he did get starter minutes towards the end of his career, but he perennially in the conversation for sixth man of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, I see a lot of Will Sheehy and Trey Galloway. Everyone that wasn't an Indiana fan hated Will Sheehy. I think that everyone that's not an Indiana fan hates Trey Galloway a little bit.
They do.
Like, it's
until they get a fully hate Gabe Cups because he earns.
Yeah. Yep. Mine is the same as yours, Jaren, because I mean, I really like Burks because the unknown of Jakai Newton has been like just so exciting to me for the last 2 years. And I think that he will be great. I want him to stick around. There's just so many minutes to go around, but I think that the lineup that we will see, maybe not most, but is like, we could see this when Balo's on the bench. You've got Malik sliding down to the five. You got McKenzie at the four. Trey runs the three. And, you know, or he and Carlisle just kind of are just shooters, just killers out there. And then you've got Rice at the one. I think that's probably the best scoring potential lineup we have. McKenzie has gotten better defensively, but he's got some defensive questions at the four for sure. But I think you've got four and a half shooters out there. Like, put that lineup out there for 8 to 10 minutes together and you're going to score approximately a trillion points and can really get, like, if you're struggling to score, like, throw them out there. And that's the most fun lineup for me.
Yeah. Please note that I believe that my lineup is like, there's such a small possibility of it happening, but I mean, your guys is as far, it's like the same idea of mine, but the far more likely scenario.
Yeah, no. I agree. And like, I think that like I can't remember his name right now. Forgive me, but the backup five that they picked up, like, I think that
Hatton.
Hatton.
I think that the true backup five is just Malik Renew, right? Like, he's going to play the four and the five.
Yeah. And then it'll be Bryson and McKenzie swapping three and four responsibility.
You know,
I mean, like, backup three and four responsibility.
Can't forget about Luke Giddey.
Yeah, oh my gosh, like, dude. It's a spoil of riches.
There's just like too much to even like, I've seen clips of Bryson in high school, but like, I don't know how that translates. I don't know what that's going to look like. So like, any one of these people could be the third leading scorer and not surprise me.
Dude, that's an exciting place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Very different from last year.
So different than last year. We're hoping to make the tournament. You guys are covering all the state of Indiana. I was curious for the overall quality of basketball we got going on right now. If the number of teams I told you in Indiana to make the NCAA tournament was set at 2.5, are you going over or under?
I'm taking the over.
Over every time. For sure.
Every time. I can rattle off five right now that I think, like, it's easy.
Damn, dude. And 49 others. Jeez.
I think that you've got two locks in my mind. You've got two locks. That's IU and Purdue. I mean, there's no situation where I think that they miss the tournament. I think it'll all come down to who gets the better seed between those two. And then my third that I'm guaranteeing, like, my third is Purdue Fort Wayne. I think they're going to make the tournament. And then my fourth to make the tournament would probably be Butler. So, I mean, I guess take that as my rankings, like my top four, like 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think those, like, I think the first three should make the tournament, and I think Butler has the opportunity.
I think they do too. I think that they had some, they had a really key pickup that I think just missed his potential drastically at Maryland.
An IU target, right?
Yep, absolutely, yeah, man. Yeah. Just like Queen. I mean, it'd be a real shame. okay, hey, so talking about those guys at the lower level, you both had Ben Humrichus on. Humrichus. I mean, nothing to worry about there, right? This guy's coming from Huntington University, coming up. Illinois has to be overhyping him. Please tell me I'm right.
I don't. Overhyping Humrick, we are. I mean, we're the biggest Humrichus fans. You'll find this out of Mississippi.
Yep. right. Wrong guys. That. So just with him, like, you guys have to be a little more in tuned with the jump in production and just the lack of production that can come with moving up and down. With him going to, I mean, he was on Evansville.
Yeah.
So, what does that look like for him next year? What does a typical jump like that do to a guy?
Yeah, I think Ben's the type of guy that he's going to come into a program, he's going to know and understand his role, and he's going to do his damnedest to fill that role, right? And I think going to Evansville, he just wanted a, chance to play Division I basketball. He got it. He was one of the best players in the Valley last year.
Newcomer of the year.
Yeah, he was newcomer of the year. He missed 8 games, something like that.
Yeah, the leg injury.
I think, and one of the things we talked about too with him is he even said, he's like, you know, I don't expect heavy minutes. I'm just honored that I got the chance to play at an even higher level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's one of the things, being a 3-and-D guy is something that he talked about. His defense is incredible. He didn't get talked about enough last year just because he was lighting up the scoreboard. And he can knock down threes like anyone else I've ever seen. And I think that that's you know, kind of the role that he expects, because he wants to play in the NBA. And I think he understands that if he's going to play in the NBA, that's the role that he needs to play.
Yeah.
And that's what his feedback was at the draft or the combine or the pre-draft workouts was like, you just basically need to prove that you can do this against better people. Like, we need to make sure that you can do this against non-Missouri Valley people. And I think the thing that, like, separates him from, like, I think a fair comp is, like, Luke Goody. I mean, that's someone that IU people should understand by now. Is like, he's, like, a Luke Goody type who can take over the game a little bit more. Like, Luke Goody can, you know, light it up from three. But, like, Ben can just kind of be like, all right, I'm just taking the game now. So it's a little bit different, but I think, like, I mean, that's basically a swap, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. So it wasn't about Ben in particular. I just wanted to get your insight on what that, like, jump in competition does to a guy. Oh, yeah. You're telling me that he is kind of looking to, with this Illinois move, specialize his role and really display what he can bring to the professional game.
Yeah. And kind of like in a way that, like, what's his name? Matthew Meyer, when he came over from Baylor. I mean, obviously that's not a jump up, but, like, I kind of see them in, like, similar roles. But, you know, it's going to be a lot tougher playing in the Big Ten, because he's probably going to have to go down and guard some fours. And that's going to be hard, because the fours in the Big Ten are a lot stronger than the fours in the Missouri Valley. So, I mean, I think he's got all the potential. Size.
Yeah, he's got some beef on him. Yeah,
but he's definitely got the drive to do it.
Yeah, I've never talked to someone who's more motivated than him and humble. Yeah, like we gas him up. We gas him up all year. We talk so positive of him. He's just like, I just appreciate you guys. He's like, I just want to go out there and play basketball.
And I mean, it was awesome to see him go to a Big Ten team, but why do you have to do that to you guys? Why do you have to go to Illinois?
I mean, we didn't talk. I know that, like, Indiana was targeting him. I think that just the depth at the position, was probably a factor. I mean, and I don't know if he's going to start at Illinois, but he should probably be first off the bench at the three. If not, and I haven't dug into their roster or anything. You know, I don't cross state lines like that.
Oh, awesome. I can't appreciate having you guys on enough. I just, before we get out of here, I wanted to do some, you know, off season bullshit fun. Let's just have it. Just a snake draft BS segment here. I wanted to, each of us, I wanted to draft a five. Okay. Play along with me. Drafting a five, one player per team in Indiana. We're going around. So no drafting multiple Hoosiers, no drafting multiple Boilermakers, Irish, whoever else. Mm-hmm. Adam, pick a number between 1 and 2.
1 and 2? Yep. 2. Evens all day.
Oh, yep. All right. First pick. You got it. We're going to go snake.
First pick.
Or do you want first or last? You can choose.
You know what? I'll take last. I'll take the third pick so I can get third and fourth.
Jaren, first or second?
Give me second.
All right. I'll take first pick.
Your show. Your show. You lead us off.
All right. My first pick. God, it pains me so much. I have to take him. Sorry, I'm making a list for us right now. Braden, I have to take Braden because I'm not taking a Hoosier right now.
You know, and if you're asking me, I think that is like the best player in the state. I mean, like, there's no.
Oh, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you who your preseason Indiana player of the year is. You think it's Braden?
I definitely think so. I mean, he's had the most proven production. I think that he's lost some production around him, but he knows how to work around it. And then maybe that frees him up to score a little bit more. Maybe it makes other people step up around him and he still finds the people. He's just too poised. I mean, his worst game of like his career, they still won in the Elite Eight against Tennessee, right? Like, he's just very, very good. His bad games are still good. So I think that, like, for me, I'm not going to speak for Jaren. This is mine. I think that he is just the best player. I think that there are people playing for these teams. Like, I think Malik Renew could come on. I think Marcus Burton is someone I really like. I think there's a lot of good players in the state, but I think that he is proven that he's the best until someone shows us otherwise. So great first pick. I mean,
I'm picking him for the bulk of production that I believe he'll do. Don't get me wrong on my show. I'm not discrediting Braden, but I genuinely think my 12-year-old daughter could get a few assists with Zach Edey on the floor. But that's yeah. Enough Braden hate. All right. Second pick.
So do you want us to go in any positional order, or are we just
you just have to build your team because we're going to compare them after. I'm going to let it out to the masses and we're going to get a reaction.
I'm taking Adam already said his name. My boy, Marcus Burton.
That's Jaren's first pick every time.
Every time.
Oh, and I had him down.
I think that he is, you know, the second best, if not potentially could be the best point guard in the state of Indiana.
To do the most, I would imagine.
Yeah, he does so much for that team, and I think it's going to pay dividends. So I'm taking Marcus.
Dude, I just love Marcus Burton, and you love him more than I do. Oh my gosh! I mean, I could go anywhere. I get two in a row. Whew. Okay. You know what? I'm gonna go my 2-3 first. So I'm gonna run. Actually, my first pick, I'm gonna be picking out of Valpo. Wait, caveat. Whoa, is this everyone's wild, healthy? Is this everyone's pick. Healthy?
Yeah. Oh yeah, best version of these guys.
Okay, then I'm picking. At the two, I'm going to slot Isaiah Stafford from Valpo at the two. He can just score. I mean, he is just like, he will be Valpo's best player if he's healthy. Then he and Cooper Schwieger are going to be nuts this year. So I'm going picking Valpo first. So that's going to be my two. And I think my three.
Can't say I had any Valpo to poach from you, but.
Hey, don't sleep on the Schlegers, man.
I promise you know better than I do.
The Schlegers. See, that's why we've got the advantage. That's why I wanted to go last.
I had to do a little research. So
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna slot him at the three. I'm gonna put him at the three, but I'm gonna put Finley Bijak from Butler at the three. I'm gonna push him down to the three, and we're just gonna shoot a ton of threes. He's gonna attack, and that's who I'm going with. So I'm going Finley as my second pick, and Stafford as my first.
All right,
let's hear it.
I'm another guy that I just love the way he plays. Jeremiah Hernandez, currently of the Ball State Cardinals, formerly of the Skreegles at Southern Indiana. The dude can play on or off ball. I'm having him play off ball next to Marcus Burton. The dude's a walking free throw make, right? He's a better free throw shooter than Zach.
He'll draw a foul better than anybody.
He was a stud at Southern Indiana last year. He's going to be, I think, Ball State's best player this year, transferring in. Mm-hmm. He's got to go Jeremiah.
He was going to be my pick, and I switched it at the last second. I was like, I might push him down to the three, and then I was like, I'm just going to throw Finley down there.
All right. I am going to go with my second pick. I'm going to pick a Hoosier before you guys can. You guys already, I have just have to not lose out on one Butler guy. I'm going to.
A lot of good picks.
Yeah, I already picked Braden. I'm like, Miles is going to be so key to this team next year, but I got Braden holding it down. I'm going to go with McKenzie, man. I really think just the way that it snowballed down the line last year.
Yeah.
Like, it came on so aggressively, so heavily. You talked about how he was like, his defense was bad towards the end mm-hmm. of the year. But if you talk about where it was at the beginning of the year, man.
Yeah. Right.
Where could this year be? Because it was crazy watching him those first few games try to play defense. It was like a guy never taught him how to play actual basketball. It was alarming.
Yeah. You're not wrong. But I
wish I was kind of joking, but it was like, dude, this dude has never played defense.
Yeah, and you could see, you know, with him that like the college game was just fast for him.
Yeah.
And if he comes in playing exactly how he left the season and makes zero progress, he's a fringe Big Ten honorable mention guy still. Because he's just that good. And I do not expect him to make no progress. So that's great pick.
And you saw the confidence snowballing with his willingness to attack the rim, and that just paid off with the 3-point confidence as well. It just mm-hmm. it all came culminating at the end, and I can't wait to see what he's doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
My next pick, right? Yeah.
So are you having him play the three, or are you having him play the four? I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, you're gonna pick four. You're gonna pick a three,
two, or five.
I'm gonna have him play the. Oh man, that's tough. You're right.
See, you gotta wait. Don't slot him in yet. Wait until you see who's left, because you might have someone left, and then your five gets taken. You gotta slide them over.
What schools still have a few available? I'll go with my Butler pick. I think Jamie Kaiser's gonna have a breakout year.
I'd agree with you.
I think Kevin Willard has fooled the nation, and his clock has to be ticking soon.
Is he from the DMV area?
I don't know.
Virginia. He's from Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia. Like, that's why
Virginia actually
went there.
Okay.
Queen went there because he's from the area. So I just assume. I mean, the DMV poll home might be harder than the Indiana poll home. Like, it honestly might be. Like, players from the DMV love to go back to the DMV.
Yeah. I mean, thank God we got the one out of there.
Yeah.
The one. Oladipo, man. We got the greatest one in a while. But
That's truth.
Yeah, that was my third pick.
That's back to me. I think I'm also going to go Butler. I'm going to pull from Butler. I'm going to go Pierre Brooks.
Oh.
Pierre Brooks.
You got
it. He's a
score, baby.
Yep. A guy that can score the ball. You put the ball in his hand, he's going to score it. You know, played at Michigan State for a little bit, so some Indiana fans might remember him. I don't know if he actually played much, but he was a transfer from Michigan State. Just great, great player. Dude's an athlete.
Is he their leading? Who's their leading distributor?
Well, it was.
I thought it was for some reason in amongst.
It was Posh, probably.
It was Posh Alexander.
Somewhere else.
He graduated.
Senior.
No, he transferred to somewhere else. I'll find it. You keep talking.
No, Pierre Brooks is a forward. He's a 6'6" forward.
Yeah.
But dude, that I just, he's a walking bucket. So I'm taking him.
All right.
Oh my. Posh Alexander's going to Dayton.
Ah.
All right. So I get two now.
Yep.
And you guys are fools, because I picked my two and my three first, and you guys still left the best available point guard on the floor, man. He's still there. And that is going to be the Horizon League Player of the Year, Rasheed Bello. Oh, I'm taking him at the one from
Purdue. Why'd you do that to all the listeners like that, man?
So good. Number one, he's going to run point. I think he can be and should be the preseason and the postseason player of the year in the Horizon League. So I'm taking Rasheed at the one. I mean, my man's great got pick. A block with a shoe. How many people do you know have done that?
You're going to gas up that intro like that and not say Miles Rice to this guy.
You know what? He's just so good. I have not picked an Indiana player yet.
Yeah, that's why I chose Braden over Miles, because I was like, I need a Purdue guy on this team, and he's the one.
Oh, man, my four and my five. Oh, man. Now, I did really consider, you know what? I'm taking him, and I'm taking him at the four. I'm taking Mickey Pearson from Ball State, because I need somebody who is just going to be a dog on the offensive and defensive end. So I'm taking Mickey Pearson.
Okay.
So we're running small, but we're going to get after it.
That's okay. I could do this one. I'm going to do this without drafting a Purdue player. And I'm not ashamed to say that, just because I think that there's only one that would be worthy of taking, and Berkey already took him. I'm going to take Trey Galloway at the three. We're going to have Pierre Brooks. We're going to have Pierre Brooks playing the four, Trey at the three.
You score a trillion points, dude.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's your two? You have a two yet?
Yeah. Jeremiah.
Okay. So you need a five.
Yep. Need a five.
And you got Burton at the one. You're going to score approximately 10 trillion points.
And I think that my five is a lock. I know that Adam can't take him. We'll see if he's even on Bert's radar.
I think I know who you're taking. He's definitely not.
This might be a reach, but I don't even know how to pronounce his name, but this is who I'm taking after all my research, because he is a La Lumiere product. And Keba Njai.
Njai.
6'10" junior from ND.
He's a baller.
Yeah,
he is. That's a good pick.
I'm going to slide him in there. And I have one more. God, that kind of backs you in a corner with pick and position.
What do you have left?
I mean, five? I took pretty much the heavy hitters. We're going to go. You know what? This is going to might be placating a little to the crowd, but I'm going to go with the sentimental play here, the Ball State's own Peyton Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great pick. Honestly,
it's a great pick if you paid attention to more than 1 year of Peyton Sparks.
Yeah, dude, his first year was major there, and that's the competition he's going back to. Like
his first 2 years, he is pound for pound. He will be the strongest player in the MAC. I think that, you know, he just wasn't playing the role that he is so used to at Indiana. I think he got a lot of hate for no reason. Well, for unwarranted reason, I guess. So I love that pick. I consider taking him, but I had to take Jeremiah instead of Peyton out of Ball State. But my last pick, my center, the hardest working man in America.
Oh my God, he did it.
Eric Mulder out of Purdue Fort Wayne. Adam already mentioned it. Players I've got around him going to be scoring a trillion points. He's going to be down there. He's going to get every rebound
possible. Your opponents are never going to see the ball other than through the hoop.
Yep. That's what I'm going for. Eric Mulder. Not a name that a lot of people will know.
Yeah.
Look him up. Watch him play. You'll fall in love.
I don't know if it was on Mid-Major Madness or who, but I saw Eric Mulder first team Horizon League on I think it was Mid-Major Madness. They projected him first team All Horizon League with Bello as the player of the year. And I was like, this is some content I can get behind.
Dude is an absolute workhorse. He's 6'8", but plays the center. So he's not the tallest guy out there, but he's stronger than all get out and just can jump through the roof. And he doesn't care if he falls down on his feet or on his head.
Yeah.
He's going to get up and
he's going for that rebound with no B option. There's no backup plan.
Hey. Yeah. Sorry. Keep going. Sorry.
You're good.
Your last pick, Adam.
Let's see. My final pick. I need a 5. Now, I could pick the IU guy. I could pick the Purdue guy. You're pretty funny. Jared never picks a Purdue guy. I never pick an IU guy. But I need somebody with proven experience. So, you know what? He's still there somehow. I'm going to take Umar Ballo at the 5.
Oh, dude, I was typing Malik Renew. You broke my heart.
I was gonna throw him down at the 5, but I was like, we're already so small. I need someone to like eat these boards and put up second chance points. And I think Malik Renew could do it, but I wanted to pick a true 5 because all my other one were like, I'm going to force you to play this position. You could play both, but you're playing this one exclusively. So I'm going to take Ballo at the 5.
No, it's a great pick, man. I am so high on Ballo because I'm just so hurt from that Arizona game where he had 15 rebounds against Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah.
And like you talk about if he has less minutes, then that just makes it that much more mind-blowing. Yeah. Like if he did that in 25 minutes or however many he was playing for Arizona that night, nuts.
Yeah, it was. That was just one because it was like Trace is great, but Ballo is just big. And then who was it? Tubelis who played the 4 and he was playing Bellis against Race. That was a mismatch.
Whose name started with a P that was killing us? Pele Larson.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
God.
Those games that you just remember everything about them, absolutely terrible.
Well, hey, those ones are notable because they were scary to watch.
Facts. One name I did come upon during all this, I just wanted to ask you guys before we get you on out of here. I'm not going to keep you too long. I can't thank you guys enough for giving me as much time as you did. Joey Hart. It was just a name I came across and I was very interested in. This kid is going to Ball State after spending a year in Lexington with Calipari. Rode the pine for him, but I mean, this kid is from Linton Stockton High School, just southwest of Bloomington. Heading to Ball State, coming back home. What do you guys know anything? Is this kid on your radar at all, or does he stand to make an impact on the MAC?
We have trivia for you, actually. We've talked about Joey.
Oh, really?
What was his 3-point percentage while he was at Kentucky?
I know it was better than 40% while he was at LinkedIn Stockton compared to my, thanks to my notes.
It was better than that while he was at Kentucky.
Damn.
100% 3-point shooter.
How many did he take?
I don't know. At least one.
He took one. Hey. It was only one.
Yeah. Hey, that's awesome. Hey, you got that. But, you got Peyton cleaning up the boards. That could be a lethal combo right there.
Yeah, I think he's going to be very good at Ball State. I think that he will likely be their third leading scorer. Mm-hmm. And he's just going to go out there and ball. He'll play the two or the three and shoot the lights out of the gym.
Yeah, you've got Mickey and Peyton, playing, and then you've got two scorers and Jerry, and you've got Joey. And I think Joey, I don't mean this to sound insulting, but I think that he is more of a MAC level player than he is an SEC level player. I think that part of the reason why he ended up there is because they found themselves needing to fill scholarships, and why would you say no? But
yeah, exactly. And hey, there's no shame in that. I mean, I find myself more as a driveway level player, but
yeah,
credit to him, man.
Yeah. And I think he had Evansville on his original list. So playing at the MAC, playing in the Missouri Valley. So I think that he's going to be great there, especially because when you get to play a year, not on the floor, but in practice every single day against such great players, he's going to be able to come into the MAC experienced the same way that Peyton will have not gained stats, but he will have gained experience having a year on the Big Ten's, bench and in practice every single day. So I think that the Ball State, could be a sneaky pick in the MAC here. I mean, if I'm a betting man, which I kind of am sometimes, I don't know what the rest of the MAC looks like. This is 10 other teams in the MAC. I don't know anything about.
Yeah. Hey, okay. I'm going to get you guys out of here. I promise. Indiana or Purdue, everyone's putting Purdue before Indiana this year. Please tell me you guys see through all that.
This is all you, Jaren.
No, I'm waiting on you.
Adam, tell me you see through it.
Okay, so this is kind of what I talked about in the recruiting.
They aren't going to get you, Adam. You are safe here. You are here. They can't hear you.
I think that the smart thing to say is that Purdue will be the better team when the season starts. And I think in the same way that all Mike Woodson teams have gotten better in March, I think that Indiana can be the better team come March. I don't necessarily think that that means that Indiana will be seeded better because their non-conference kind of sucks. But I think that when they're both playing their best basketball, I don't know if we have the dates of their second matchup, but whoever wins that second matchup is probably the better team. And I would lean if everything goes the best that they can, I think Indiana is probably better at the end of the year, but Purdue is going to start the year better than Indiana will, because Indiana has more kinks to work out. Jaren?
Fair, Jaren.
I genuinely think top to bottom, Indiana will be a better team. I do agree. I think at the beginning of the season, it will be rough, maybe not rough, but I think it'll be if you're sitting at home watching Purdue play in their MTE, and then you see Indiana play in theirs, you might see different outcomes. But again, I think that I said it last year, I said it the year before, Mike Woodson's team is built for March. It is every year. They just got to get there. They will get there this year. And I think that, we will see a much better product out of Indiana than we've seen in a long time. And I think Indiana will be, the better team. I don't want to speak to their conference outcomes in the sense of just because we don't really know what the conference standings are going to look like because of how, the schedules never line up, to be balanced. You've got four new teams into the conference that they aren't necessarily great basketball programs, but they're not scrubs.
The travel and everything else surrounding it all also just throws a cog into it.
Yeah,
but I think pound for pound, Indiana will be a better team.
Yeah, and I think if you want to if you want to tier it, I think you're talking about like the top tier, the teams that are fighting for the Big Ten title, regular season title. I think you're talking about Indiana. You're talking about Purdue. I think those are two you're obviously talking about. I think you're talking about Michigan State because I think they're going to be a lot better this year. I think Xavier Booker is going to be really good for them. I think he's gotten a lot better in his year sitting the bench. And then I think that UCLA is probably going to be contending. I think that, you know, last year was a really weird year for them, but I think that they're going to be good again this year. And I think if you're talking about like teams that can win the Big Ten, it's probably those four. And then I just don't know enough about like Illinois, USC. I mean, Michigan's a wild card. I mean, completely new. Iowa, I don't have any faith in. So I think those four teams are like the four that I think can contend for the Big Ten.
Before you give too much to UCLA, I do want to present my theory on UCLA's move into the Big Ten. I genuinely feel like Mick Cronin was playing Big Ten basketball in the Pac-12, and that's why he had so much success there. So it is going to be, I think it's going to be a culture shock to him when he's actually playing other Big Ten teams.
Uh-huh.
Like he brought that style to the Pac-12, and it worked well for him.
That's a great point.
I mean, yeah, I'm so excited to see how all that shakes out. But like, hey, we were crapping on Purdue's basketball team a little there towards the end, Jaron. But if you guys want to hear their last guest absolutely talk shit on Purdue football, please, you have to go check out the State of Basketball podcast. These guys, their last episode is a treat for Hoosier fans. It's basically just talking about how Cignetti's righting the ship and Purdue's just falling off the tracks.
That schedule's tough, man.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard their last guest say Purdue's maybe getting one win on the season, yeah, I was just it. I mean, we're a little better. We like to think we're a little better than, you know, dancing on the graves and just like enjoying that kind of stuff. But it was fun to listen to, and I can't thank you guys enough for just making that show. You guys have to go give the State of Basketball a listen if you haven't. Adam Miller, Jaron Wilt, do you guys want to plug anything before you head out of here?
I mean, just follow us wherever we are. We're State of Basketball on Instagram and TikTok, and then we're the State of B-Ball on Twitter because character limitation is pretty lame. But I mean, if you like, we're here for the person that maybe went to Evansville but grew up a Purdue fan. You know, we're here for those people who maybe didn't get to go to these schools but has always been a fan of them. So, or maybe you just like basketball and you think that Indiana does it best. That's kind of what we're here for. So follow us. What are we on? Spotify, Apple, YouTube?
No,
we're
everywhere. Instagram. I want to say that your guys' Instagram is a good follow. Like, really, I'm probably going to start trying to model a lot of my stuff after you guys, they put out just crossed Indiana rankings. I love seeing where we like stack up with these other smaller schools, Purdue, Notre Dame. It's just a good follow. You guys have to go check their show out.
Yeah, thank you, absolutely, man. Thank you. We can't thank you enough for letting us come on your show and
please,
you know, maybe
you guys are really, are really jumping on a grenade here on the first episode of video. No, so I appreciate
we're honored.
It.
We're absolutely honored.
You know, we do it. We do the Indiana talk 1/11th as well as you do. So it's nice to get someone who just loves talking Indiana basketball on the show.
Well, hey, if you guys ever need somebody to come in and talk,
Njai.
There you go. I'm your guy.
Hey, and if you're in the fort, we got to get together. We should get together for one of these games or something.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, man. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Jaron and Adam for taking a shot on my first video episode. I mean, as much as I'm putting myself out here right now, they put themselves out there for me, and I truly appreciate it. I can't thank them enough. That's it for this week. If you do like the show, please feel free to give me a subscribe, a follow, ring the bell, whatever that means, whatever the YouTube people say, please do that. All of you audio listeners, thank you so much for sticking with me as long as you have. And, you know, I'm going to keep releasing on audio. You guys are the OGs. I got your back no matter what. Thank you so much for listening to the Often Daunted podcast. I will be back to you on the 23rd with a YouTube video. So if you wanted to go ahead, if you heard this on audio, next episode, you want to see this ugly mug, go ahead and block the YouTube. Thank you so much, guys. As always, Lux et Veritas, go Hoosiers.